everyone. Thanks for listening. This is the Military History Man, and today we're going to be going over the weapons of the Vietnam War. Now, to kick things off, Vietnam was a very humbling experience for the United States, and in that sense, it caused them to create a lot of new weapons. And to begin with things, we're going to start out with the M14. So, just to give you a little bit of background, NATO, or the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, was beginning a standardization, and what that means is basically everyone in NATO is going to begin using the same weapons, or maybe not at least the same weapons, but the same cartridge for their weapons. Now, the United States was one of the only countries to not list the standardization and would keep their M14. Now, the M14 was a semi-automatic or fully automatic rifle that had a 20-round box magazine, fired in 7.62mm, which was a very large cartridge at the time. It would share the cartridge of the M60 GPMG, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Fully automatic mode, it was hard to control, again, to the 7.62 large cartridge. Moving on, M16. This would go to replace the M14, and originally it was introduced to the U.S. Army. It was originally introduced to the Air Force and then to the U.S. Army. But when it was introduced to the Army, it was misunderstood that this gun didn't need any cleaning, so it leads to several jams and malfunctions. In addition, there were some factory defects and things in the gun that it would aid failure of the weapon's firing system. Now, these defects would be fixed in the M16A1 variant, but not after many soldiers had a long-standing poor relationship with the weapon. But once the M16A1 was introduced, soldiers liked the weapon. Moving on, M79 Blooper. This was a break-action grenade launcher. So in essence, it looked like a large shotgun. So what you do, break open, put in a new cartridge, and fire. So it gave soldiers the option of having a grenadier in the squad, but in the often tight battlefields of the jungles in Vietnam, using a grenade launcher at short range obviously isn't the best option. Moving on, M60. We talked about this a little bit earlier. It's a general purpose machine gun. It was often used on helicopters or in the squad support role. It could also be fired from the hip somewhat accurately, which has been popularized in media. It also used a 7.62mm cartridge, so it would kick a little bit. Moving on, M40 sniper rifle, which is used in the United States Army and Marines after World War II for long-range work. And now we get to move on to some of the weapons that the Vietnam War actually created, to be honest. So, first of all, M134. Now, the M134 is a minigun, which many of you know. Minigun has always been a very powerful weapon in games and movies. And this came about because the United States Army wanted to have a higher volume of fire than was possible with a conventional machine gun. So to do this, they essentially upgraded the Gatling gun. The typical minigun had 6 barrels. It was powered by a battery from General Electric. It also fired in 7.62mm, was capable of firing several hundred rounds per minute. Now moving on to the Claymore, which has also been popularized in games and movies. It was essentially like a robotic shotgun. So what you would do is set it up, and then one side would shoot out a whole bunch of pellets, again similar to a shotgun. It could be used against infantry or even some vehicles. Now prior to the M14, there were also several weapons that the United States developed in earlier times that were being used, such as the Grease gun, the Thompson 1911, but as we've already gone over those, I don't feel the need to discuss them in any further detail. Hello, this is Military History Man. We are going to be moving on to the communist weapons of Vietnam. So North Vietnam, they didn't have the economic power or resources that the United States did, so what they had to do was import weapons from their big brothers, or which would be China, Soviet Union, places like those. So all of their weapons were basically the Soviet or Chinese weapons. So we're going to start off with the AK-47, which many of you probably know. It's a 7.62mm semi-automatic or automatic weapon. It is extremely simple, cheap to produce, can be used in the hands of a child. That's how simple it is to operate. It doesn't require any cleaning at all. I remember once in Iraq or in Middle East, somewhere it was, that some soldiers were trained to just take their shoelaces and pull them through the bore of a gun, and that was clean enough for the AK-47 to effectively operate. So this weapon would be very simple to use and effective to use in the jungles and other not so ideal places to fight in. Several copies of this weapon were produced, and perhaps the most prominent one was the Chinese Type 56, which it looked exactly like the AK-47. Moving on to the sniper weapon of communist forces was the SVD Dragunov. It was a semi-automatic 7.62mm sniper rifle. It also had the same kind of operating system as AK-47, which would come to define the entirety of Russia's arsenal after the AK-47 was introduced. It was semi-automatic, yes, operated, and a 20-round magazine, which was fairly large for sniper rifles. Now, you might be asking, where is the secondary? Well, that's kind of hard to define, because, again, as I said before, North Vietnam, doesn't really have the resources that the United States does, so it would many times just manufacture guns, like make guns, and oftentimes these would just blow up or not be as effective. So you can't really define one singular secondary for the NVA. They would also use like copies of guns, like copies of the PPSH-41, copies of the Thompson. They were just trying to make any guns that they could, essentially. And they would also use captured French weapons, such as the MAT-49. Now, this is also an interesting weapon, French-made. It has a pivoting magazine housing, so you could take the magazine and turn it parallel with the barrel. So maybe you wanted to keep it like nice and contained for a parachute jump or something like that, like the French. Or you could turn the magazine downward, and you could fire it. You can turn it into a vertical foregrip. Thanks for listening. This is the Military History Man, signing off.